This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
A little Michael Bennett tribute from Jaron Reed. Time runs out, ball goes right into the grass. Pressure by Eamon Worry. And what looked to be a promising start to the first possession of the second half comes crashing to an end with the Seahawks defense clamping down.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, 888-957-957 is the number. What frustrated you about the game on Saturday night? To me, this felt like sort of like two messages. And in the moment, I'm like, get Brock out of the pocket. Move him around. You know, they had like a sort of a momentum and a flow and a pace to the one drive that went well.
One drive. Finally, right?
Remember that one drive?
Do you remember that one drive?
Yeah, and then you do this as a fan. You're like, well, where the hell's that been? Where the hell's that been? And so I don't know. I can't answer that. But yeah, like, move him around more. And why didn't they do that? I think that that's a fair question. But the other side to this, which is, I guess frustrating is the right word. It's more just kind of sobering. And I think a lot of us have thought this all along. Even the Niners' record has never really been matched by their swagger and by their play. You can come out of last week's game and go, ooh, they beat the Bears. Right. They beat the Bears. You watched the game. Did it look like the Niners were like, we're big dogs in the NFC.
Right.
Take you behind the shed. No, they win by these little teeny shaven hairs on their chin, and that's great. These are accomplishments, not dominance. So that was what I took away from Saturday night. It doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't mean they suck. It doesn't mean people should be fired. The Niners have overachieved. The Niners are not that good. They're very accomplished.
Sure.
They're
sure.
Not that good.
But if you want to look at their whole season in totality and you go back to the first game against Arizona where you had Dominic Pudi commit a penalty in the end zone for a safety and you had to dig deep to beat Arizona, and Arizona turns out is not very good. You had to hold on, not for dear life against New Orleans, but they had gotten almost to midfield.
One score game.
I mean, your boy the Rattler, the Rat, Might have come back to beat you in that game.
You see the Niners logo come up on the broadcast in this game. One of the best teams in the NFL in one-score games. I think their record was 5-1 this year in one-score games.
I'm looking at it here.
Yeah.
1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, 4-1. Wow, then you have to go all the way to
the Bears game.
6-1. 6-1, yeah. And that's you know, they had a lot of games where you talked about, like, dominance. And go back to the Cardinal game the second time. Okay, you dominated the Cardinals. The Panthers, you won 20-9, and you kind of dominated that, but Brock Purdy threw three interceptions in an eight-play span. So even though you dominated them, that game still was not put away. Cleveland, similarly, like, you beat them 26-8 against Shedeur Sanders. Then you beat Indy. You beat Tennessee, whatever. Tennessee's awful.
Yep.
You beat Indy with Phillip.
A grandfather. And,
yeah.
At quarterback.
Exactly. So yep. Even the games that you won decisively, Tennessee, terrible. Grandpa Rivers and all the rest of it. So, yeah, you're 12-5. Great. You're accomplished. But are you 12-5 like the Rams are 12-5? I mean, the Rams are 12-5, and they've looked more like a 12-5 team.
No.
Right.
No, the 49ers, like, it's... I get, if you want to call it a criticism, you can. I don't even find this to be all that critical. Like, the 49ers, I actually think it's a compliment. They're very accomplished. They have. We can all agree they have faced enough adversity to not be 12-5. Right? Like, 12-5 was the most optimistic outlook I heard from anyone at the beginning of the year. Even with the quote-unquote stupid easy schedule.
Yeah, and we can get into that if you want.
Nobody said anything better than 12-5. And they did it without, like, tons of their players. Tons of missed games by top players throughout the year.
Right.
So that's a great accomplishment. This is a pat on the back. But, they're not that good.
Don't get fooled. There's a team in the NFC that had a plus 68-point differential. And there's a team that had a plus 66-point differential. The plus 68 team went 9-8, Detroit, and the plus 66 went 12-5, the Niners. And I know that point differential can be a little bit funky, it can be a little bit skewed, but I do think after 17 games, it is representative of who you are and what you've been.
There's no doubt.
And the Lions are 2 points better than you, and you have three more wins. So that to me speaks to exactly what I've laid out all day about, you know, these games are in the balance and you made the play. And then Saturday night, the game was in the balance and you didn't make the play. Yetur Gross-Matos didn't recover a fumble. Christian McCaffrey coughed up a pass that was highly catchable and you gave up a 3rd-and-17. And by the way, they missed two field goals and they went for a 4th down from the 4 when they shouldn't have. So all those things collectively and you still lost by 10.
Yep.
So
yep.
I don't know.
No, I think that's a completely fair breakdown. And that's why, like, sure, the Niner defense, they did some things. Like, I think you mentioned the two players that I think played well, Sam Oh and Upton Stout.
They
played good football games. I don't really want to point out anybody else. Some of them I had never even heard of. What's his name? Wallow?
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
No, because that's what we're doing, and that's how you're going to remember it,
like,
now.
So whatever. But, like, when people go, ooh, they held him to 13. Seattle kind of held themselves to 13.
Seattle held themselves to 13,
yes.
And you held them to 13. Because Seattle could have had 3-3-7, and instead they didn't, and then you held them to 13. So really they held themselves to 13, you held them to 13, you scored 3. You lose that game 26-3.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Like, again, sure. I go into these football games thinking you're going to have to score 25 or more to have a chance. And if you had asked me before the game, you think they could score 25 or more against the Seahawks? Yeah, probably not. Probably not without their left tackle, like super double, probably not.
And their wide receiver one.
Yeah, probably not with their left tackle.
Right. And we can look at all this stuff however we want. And think about last night's game, and I know you were watching it live with Ephraim, and I heard a little bit of you and E, you guys are great as always. And, you know, you look at that game, and Pittsburgh won the game. Did Pittsburgh win the game, or did Baltimore lose the game? Well, probably equal parts
of both.
But you look at that, like, Pittsburgh won. That game was crazy in the fourth quarter.
And both their kickers in the end were the story.
Right.
Now, no matter what, as Tyler Loop lines up,
oh boy,
it's simply a matter of which kicker are we pissed at on Monday morning.
Boswell with the missed PAT.
There you go. Or Loop with the missed field goal.
And Grandy, did I take Baltimore on the air? Because I know in my pool I took Pittsburgh.
You took Seattle. Right? You took Seattle.
No, I took the Niners.
You did?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, I'm That was all in 2025. I don't remember any of it.
We were all very upset about it.
And
you picked Baltimore -3.5.
It's funny because in my
pool, you've now lost seven games in a row.
Whoa!
You boys, so hot.
Just in time for the playoffs.
Just in time to fade
playoff
the Denver.
Playoff Dibs is here. I was driving around this morning going, I can't remember who we took.
Yeah. I knew I took the Niners.
You lost them both?
Well, it's funny because I looked at my sheet for my pick'em pool, and I went 12-4. Give me seven if you're going to do it right. I've lost seven in a row. Pete the Buzz is coming.
Five.
Yep.
Six.
Not five.
Seven.
Not
there
six. Yeah, I'm in LeBron territory, but yeah, I thought that I took Baltimore in the air, but in my pool I took Pittsburgh, so I was like, oh boy, I'm happy for my pool, but I think I took Baltimore. Oh boy, seven in a row.
Even if Luke made that field goal, you still would have lost, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, take solace in the fact that you were super wrong, not unlucky.
Yeah, Robert solace, no doubt. All the solaces.
Yeah, gosh. I don't know, man, like, that's just kind of, that's the way that I looked at that football game. And like, it just, the 49ers are not that good, but they're super accomplished. And that's going to get you sometimes, especially when the other team you're playing is really good. Like Seattle's defense in particular.
Yeah.
I don't think that much of their offense. Jackson Smith and Jigba is wonderful. And they definitely blocked the 49er defensive line, but who doesn't? Like that's the least productive defensive line in the history of the organization. So I'm not overly impressed by that. Their run game is what word would I use? Like stubborn. You know what I mean? They stick to it. I don't think they're dynamic. Sam Darnold is fine. He's a solid player when given time to deliver the football and all of those things that he did. But if you look at what they did outside of the second half against the Rams a few weeks ago, Seattle's been kicking field goals for a living for the last month and a half.
Yep.
They're okay, but they win the game because their defense is absolutely fantastic.
Complimentary football.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. And that, I was watching that game Saturday, and it felt so much like a Shanahan blueprint where, you know, we may not score a touchdown, but we're going to keep the ball. We're not going to make mistakes. They made the one. The Niners couldn't capitalize, but Seattle was able to just keep it, march it down, keep the defense fresh, and then tee off when they had to.
Real quick, give me a guess. Don't look. Remember I said the Niners probably need to score 25 to win this game. You know how many times Seattle's given up 25 points this year?
How many times they've given up 25?
17 games. How many times have they given up 25 points?
Probably
or more?
Three, because my daughter's three.
Lower.
Two?
Correct.
Wow. Yeah.
Twice.
Everything is three in my world now because my daughter. I get three cookies because I'm three.
Lost to the Bucks 38-35 on October 5th. That was when the Bucks were good. And then everybody remembers their 38-37 overtime victory against the Rams.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
I was trying to tell you last week, this defense is legit.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I still don't think they're as good as Houston, but they are very legit.
If it's Houston, well, Seattle in the bowl, bet the under.
3-2. Yeah.
Bet the under.
Sponsored by Safeway, and we go right back to your phone calls coming up next. So, Jamie and Derek and Tony and the rest of you, get on in here. What specifically frustrated you about Saturday night? 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
Of McCaffrey and into the arms of Drake Thomas. I think that ball was tipped out of the hand of Purdy, and Thomas ends up with it. John Schneider loving it.
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but
now back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Like, here's how I think maybe I'm wrong. I think I could prove this. Here's how you know the Niners were outmanned in this game.
How, Mark?
Okay. What player are you mad at?
On the Niners?
Yep.
I'm mad at Spencer Burford. I just made that up.
I can't ask you.
Yeah, get him, Dibs.
I can't ask you because you're too sarcastic. Like
Burford on that second down play, your drop step was a little bit sluggish.
If you think that the Niners, quote, like barfed all over themselves or whatever, then you need to give me the player who barfed on himself, who just, like, totally sucked out there, as opposed to what I think actually most of you think at the core of your being, which was that the Niners, they did not have the people to win that football game. Did they have opportunities? Sure. But, like, it has to be perfect. You have to fall on every fumble. You can't drop any balls. You have to, right, every opportunity has to go your way. And that's rare. That's rare. I mean, it's been more often than not this season that those things have fallen the Niners' way.
Yeah.
But that's rare that you're going to nail them all. Sure, McCaffrey bobbled a ball. We can do that. But outside of that, who's the guy who you're like, boy, you really gagged this one away? I can't think of anyone.
I can think of one.
Who?
You know who.
Who, Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy.
What'd he do?
Brock Purdy, he didn't find open receivers. The few times he had opportunities,
Brock
he didn't
Purdy.
Get the job done.
What opportunity? What do you even mean by
on
that?
On the fourth and one play,
yeah.
When he got blitzed.
Was someone open?
George Kittle was open. Yeah, and I'll show you the play during the break. I mean, he wasn't like wide open. You had time, but
yeah. Did he have time to throw it to him?
He had enough time to where he could see it and just, you know, flip it out there.
Okay.
Awareness.
Okay.
And you know the one that we all blame McCaffrey for.
Yeah.
The juggle bobble. I mean, another one of your passes gets tipped, bro.
Okay. Can I do the? Can we do the tip pass for just a second?
Sure, we can. Because it happens to your guy a lot, Your Honor, President of Brockistan.
How many balls got batted from Darnold?
I'd have to look.
There was at least three, and the Niner defensive line is non-existent. But anyway, here's my point about the tip ball
thing. Let's hear it.
And I'm glad that Christian said what he said about this one.
Well, he's defending your guy, because he's the vice president of Brockistan, possibly.
He and I are a good, we're a good battery.
Good tandem.
It's a play that I have to make, absolutely have to make. Expect nothing less but to make that play, and it's completely on me.
Okay. He's right. And that's not it's okay. Like sometimes you don't catch the ball, but my point is on the tip ball thing, we're making it sound like the DB tipped it. I hear a lot of people go, well, the ball changed direction, right? You're 15 yards away. You have time to readjust to something where the ball got tipped a little bit. Right? Like if I'm 15 yards from you and something redirects, but it's still heading right at me, it's not like, well, I didn't have time to figure it out. It's like, yes, you did.
There's a flutter.
There's the flutter factor. Right. But like you're 15 yards away, so you can see that. And he's got the ball still lands literally in his lap.
A little behind him.
I mean,
yes.
He's got two hands on the ball.
He's
got
to catch it.
So like that's just a flat out. The guy bobbled the ball. It's okay. It happens.
It's not okay.
It happens.
It does happen, but it's not okay.
Well,
it's not okay when you're in the red zone for the first time all night and you actually might get a chance for the announcer who's coming back off of leukemia.
Yep.
And all he wants to do is scream, touchdown San Francisco.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Field goal!
I guess
that's his call. Poor guy, and I love him. Shout out Greg Papa.
San Fran, field goal.
Thank you.
Here's what I mean by it's okay. It's not okay, but like, what are we going to do? We're going to get mad at Christian McCaffrey now? Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly
what
you mean.
It's kind of like if Steph Curry misses a three, we're like, well, this choke job.
It's like when my three-year-old has an accident in her crib, in her big girl bed, am I going to put her up for adoption? No. Accidents happen, and you get a new sheet, you move on.
Mark. You're not here without that guy. You're nowhere near here without that guy.
I'm not here without that girl.
So, like, he messed one up. Okay.
On to the next.
Yeah, you get that. This is a bummer time to have it happen, and it's happened in very, very big moments a couple of times the last few years. Guy fumbled in the Super Bowl.
No doubt.
So, okay. You know what I mean?
For me, that was not a make or break play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Y'all talk about that play in the Super Bowl where, was it Burford who went the wrong way?
Yeah.
And I'm picking on Burford too much in this segment. I don't
Felice
even know
Nelson,
Spencer.
Tomorrow at 5.
Shut up! But he goes the wrong way, and a sure touchdown is not a sure touchdown. And so even if you want to look at that one play as the play that cost him the game, and everyone wants to talk about Kwaski Tart against the Rams in the NFC Championship game, well, there was another 167 plays in that game that you could have made or did make. So too often we drill down on one thing too much in football. That one Saturday, though, was like, oh, man, they're finally, like you said, they're finally humming. Like, boom, Kittle and Juwan and a little bit of McCaffrey and march. This is what we're used to. And then, yeah. Oh, God.
And then it just stopped.
Bobble game.
Derek is in Chicago and wants to weigh in. Derek, thank you for calling. Willard and Dibs, what's up?
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're going good. We're doing great, Derek. What's good? What's on your mind?
Okay, you asked me the question, I'm going to answer it. What's the thing that's been frustrating me? It's been Kyle the whole time. I've been watching him for 9 years. Kyle continually does the same exact thing. When he gets shut down, I mean, I'm talking about the Christmas Day game. I'm talking about the game that Jim Schwartz has beat him. I'm talking about the game on Saturday. When our team gets out there on offense, you got four defensive linemen up front, and you have seven men within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage every time. How do you defeat that? You get two wide receivers, and you have them run go routes every single play. You got to get these guys off of the line of scrimmage. You got to get them outside of 10 yards in order to clear space for people to run. When Pearsall went out, I knew that we had no chance of winning that game because he was the only guy that could get over. He was the only guy that could stretch the field like he did in game one. Shanahan continually does things. He tries to do it on his terms, his way. And if he doesn't have the horses in the stable, he's not doing it at all.
Well, so I guess I got a question for you, Derek. If the second that, and I'm not trying to pin you here, but I want to use your words here and I want to understand. if the second you knew Pearsall was out, you knew they had no chance, what is it you'd like Kyle to do? Like, what does a quarterback need? Hold on, Derek. What does a quarterback need in order to complete a go route? What does that quarterback need?
Okay. I'm glad you asked me the question.
Yeah.
Because first of all, if I'm the coach, if Pearsall doesn't, if there's a possibility that he doesn't have a chance to play, I'm going to be trying to get Watkins and I'm going to be trying to get Cowan available. Now, here's the deal.
These guys have never played before, Derek.
I may not. Me running go routes does not mean I'm going to throw it to these other guys. All I'm trying to do, guys, is clear space. I need these DBs off of me. I need to clear space for Kittle. I need to clear space for Juwan. That was the issue. Kyle continually does the same thing. He does not allow people to give him space. His receiver. Why? He doesn't want to play him.
Derek, thanks. That particular angle is a tough one because, Dibs, you mouthed the answer that I was looking for there, which is time. Yeah, you need time in order to conduct all of these plays, Derek, that you're suggesting. Derek, you're not wrong with the type of plays that would work, but they don't work if you don't have time.
And they don't do go routes. This offense, they don't do the go route occasionally. And
like, this is more of a general comment. I love when things don't go well for a team and we immediately want to pluck people who never play and we go, that would have been the answer.
Jordan Watkins has played, Mark, 25 snaps this year.
Like, so that we would have beat Seattle if Jacob Cowing is a ghost this year. I don't even know where he is.
He has not played a snap on offense or defense or special teams.
Right. So
the other one's Isaac Garendo, who's played about 40% of the time on special, but never on offense.
Like, to say that, and you're allowed to, but to say that would be no different than saying, you know what the Warriors, what would really get them on a winning streak?
Not LJ Cryer.
Not Steph Curry, Seth Curry. We need the other Curry to do 38 minutes a night, and the Warriors will win. Like, that's not... I hope Jordan Watkins is a good player someday.
Yeah.
They were high on him in camp. He got hurt. I do know that learning this offense for wide receivers is really hard. Every wide receiver has always said that.
And you have to block. So if you don't block, you don't get the rock.
I'm not very good, Dr. Seuss.
Thank you.
I don't know why someone would think that is what would unlock everything. They need time.
And you've got Sky Moore, who's actually kind of the go-routiest guy that you have, but you don't run a lot of go-routes on this team. And in order to do that, you have to have time. So if you want to go ahead and, I don't know, max protect, which would mean you have 7 blockers and you've got Brock, so now you've got 3 people in the route and they're going to have 7 guys covering, you're not going to catch them off guard. And oh my God, they're going to go max protect, and here goes Sky Moore down the field. We'll go ahead and just let him go. This offense doesn't do that, and this defense that you faced, they were damn near flawless, where you caught it, they tackled, you had a contested throw, they came up and hit you and broke you up, and other than that, they got after your quarterback with 4 all night.
I mean, I want to pass something along from someone who means a lot to me and is also listening right now. My father-in-law, Lincoln Morita, apparently is listening to us. And we were talking after breakfast this morning. And he and I see very, very eye to eye on this. But I know today is not a day for this kind of an opinion. Maybe later in the week we'll get to it. But, like, when you look at a performance like that on Saturday, I find it hard to divorce myself from what we were all thinking halfway through the year. And even before this game, everybody said, man, it'd be amazing with all of this if they could just make the playoffs. It would be incredible if they could just make the playoffs. And I looked at the schedule, and the Niners play the Eagles this weekend. And it doesn't feel incredible. It doesn't feel incredible to a lot of you because we've arrived at this spot where, like, sort of an unfair carrot got dangled in front of our face. That's the way I look at it. The one seed was dangled in front of our face. The Niners are not the one seed. They're not. Look at them.
No.
Look at them. And they could have been,
but that would have been a true miracle.
They're allowed to be, but they don't have the horses to do that, and Jordan Watkins wouldn't have changed it.
No.
So that's, I don't want that to sound like an excuse. It's not. It's actually just more of a reality check.
Right.
It's incredible that they lost for the first time in 2 months Saturday. That's unbelievable.
It's really believable when you think about who they beat, but to expect them to then come out and beat Seattle, you lose to the Rams on November 9th, and the Rams motorboated you, and you were down 21-0, and that game was never close. Then you beat Arizona. They're terrible. You beat Carolina at home. They're a team with a losing record. I know they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
You beat Cleveland, and Cleveland had a rookie QB making his first ever start, and you know, that was the end of a long road before the bye. You beat Tennessee, they're terrible. You beat a grandfather in Indy. You beat Chicago, very impressive win against a good team, yep. And it took every last ounce of everything to do that. Seriously. And then Seattle, who now is the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl, they came in and they beat you. So between the Ram loss and the Seattle loss, you were 6-0. So is it unbelievable? No, but it's impressive. Like, there could have easily been a hiccup against Cleveland. I thought there would be.
Yeah, they're
in a tough spot.
Most teams have hiccups. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
There's no hiccups.
Yeah, I know.
On the schedule.
That's really good.
You lost to Jacksonville, a playoff team. You lost at Tampa, and I mean, I guess they should be a playoff team. They're not. You lost at Houston. They're really good. You lost to the Rams in Seattle. So 4 of your 5 losses are to teams that are still dancing in January like you.
Let's go to Nathan in Hesperia. 888-957-9570. What frustrated you about Saturday night? Nathan, thank you for calling. What's up?
Well, good. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. But you know what to tell me is that, and like a lot of longtime 49er fans, if you watch professional sports, I wasn't frustrated. When I first saw the game start off, my response was, oh, no. Because in sports, you can tell oftentimes when it's clear one team is already from the very jump is imposing its will on the other team, and you realize we're outmanned, we're outgunned. We're going to need something special or amazing, a turnover or a major thing to try to win this game. So that game, don't forget about the score. That was the old-fashioned, we got a butt whipped by a professionally superior team. And, yeah, you can always go back in a game that you lose and say, man, we could have called it to play here and there or whatever. But Kyle could not have coached that team to win that game. There was just no way. It was just, the reality is, like we've been saying, this team has been fighting like hell to get past every win, get every week, you know, undermanned, losing his best players, and to their credit, as we've said many times, they've gotten every bit of juice out of this orange, but the reality is the orange isn't as good as their competitors, and so when you have these injuries, you just, sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you, because in many ways, the team that wins in the end in playoffs is the team that's healthier, and so for the larger question is, for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch is, you know, how far can we go? But really is, how are we going to somehow close the gap against a team like Seattle in the future? Because they got a lot of work to do to get this roster to the point where they can match that kind of talent, even when you've had some losses to your players.
Nathan, I think that's a great, thank you very much. This is a great call. Again, like we're talking earlier about micro and macro frustrations. The micro frustration is that either they didn't or they just never got a chance to try to move Brock Purdy around a little bit, get him out of the pocket, get some pace going with your drives on offense. That we finally saw there in the second half, and it worked, and then only because of the McCaffrey play did that not turn into points. So that was kind of frustrating. The macro frustration is, I do think that the Niners need to look at the idea of, if one of our greats goes down on our lines, our line is over. Like that feels a little bit too flimsy to me. Trent Williams doesn't play, your offensive line is overwhelmed. Nick Bosa gets hurt, and you have the lowest sack total that your team has ever had
yeah.
in the history of its existence. I mean, honestly,
you also lost Mikal Williams.
Yes, but he wasn't crushing it like when he was playing either.
Right, but he's not going to ever be a big sack master, but he's at least a guy who could help you maybe free up other people to be a part of the action as well.
And he's a rookie, so like you're not going to put out all on his shoulders right away. But that's what I would hope for is that, because for instance, like the Steelers lost T.J. Watt for a couple of games. They didn't like just be like, so that's the end of sacks.
Yep.
No more sacks. T.J. Watt's out. We'll wait till he's back.
But they also have Hayward, and they've got other guys who are like veteran big boys up front.
Right. But I mean, the Niners have Bryce Huff. That's a veteran pass rusher.
Sure. And they got Keon White, and you've got Sam O, and you've got a bunch of 23 and 24-year-old pups. So
I don't know about you. You know what I kept yelling at the screen on this one? I'm like, when Sam O finally got home for that sack,
yep.
I was like, you guys don't need an invitation. You're allowed to go in there.
You're allowed to.
Get him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's just me fanning out. I get why. They don't have the people they need to rush the passer. It's been evident every week.
Yep. And even when they now have blitzed more than they normally do and normally would like to, like a lot of times when you are blitzing, you're bringing a linebacker late. And I think it was D Winters when he got hurt. He blitzes late. And Sam Darnold kind of sidesteps him.
He whiffed.
But he collapsed in pain. He got hurt on the play.
Either stepped on or whatever
it
was.
So Sam Darnold's like, oh, okay, let me go ahead and amble for five and a first down. So even when you did the right thing and you brought the pressure, you still weren't making the effectual plays that you want to make.
Which is why I think Kyle Shanahan keeps talking about tackling and it ticks everyone off because people don't want Kyle talking about the defense because apparently Kyle's not even about the defense. It's only about the offense and it sounds like he's blaming the defense. I don't think he said great things about the offense either. I mean, we can listen to all this here coming up next.
Yeah,
Kyle's thoughts on the offense, Kyle's thoughts on the defense, and whether or not you accept the explanations. I didn't really hear any finger pointing going on. That's not how I translated it. I thought that was fair. I thought the 49ers, hampered though they are, and linebackers running around I've never heard of, but you have NFL helmets, so therefore, when there's another player in front of you as a defensive player, you're supposed to be able to tackle that person. They didn't do a good job of that.
No, and it was really a stark contrast to me of watching Seattle, and every time they had to roll up and make a tackle, they made the tackle. I can't remember too many missed tackles, and the Niners had a bunch of whiffs, and you mentioned the one before where Jackson Smith and Jigba goes all the way down the sideline for the touchdown, but he actually stepped out of bounds at like the 30-yard line or whatever. But on that play, there was like whiff, 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 whiff.
He stepped out of bounds, but it was way further down the field than I realized. Like when they started, he's running for the end zone, and then they blow the whistle. You're like, okay, thank God.
Yeah.
Like he actually stepped out of bounds. And then they showed the replay, and it was like step, no, that's in bounds. Step, no, he's still in bounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Step, 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 and then he's out of bounds. I go, well, he still got like 16 yards and
something,
a first down out of that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Yeah, they weren't where they needed to be. And they didn't, they didn't get people on the ground. So that's disappointing. I guess that's the whole thing. It's all understandable.
Completely.
It's frustrating, but it's understandable.
Yeah. And
on both sides of the ball.
Well, and I wonder how people would feel if they would have beaten Chicago and then, you lose to Chicago, but you beat Seattle and you still wind up at 12-5.
Right.
And you still wind up as the sixth seed. Would we feel better because you'd be going into the playoffs off a win? Because if we go back to the Chicago game,
Wow. Like
we felt great about the offense and, oh boy, the defense is trouble. And then the defense was better to me Saturday than the offense, but now you go in with a bad taste. Because they're coming off a loss.
I got to think about it, though. Like, if that had all happened, would Seattle have still been, if the Niners had lost to Chicago but beaten Seattle, would Seattle still be the one seed?
They would, yeah.
They would?
They have two games on the Niners now.
Yeah.
Well, no, but you're saying if the Niners had beaten Seattle.
Yeah, so if the Niners had still beaten them, the Seahawks would still be a game ahead.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah. Okay. But that wouldn't have changed the any tiebreaker procedure with the the Rams anything like
for
that.
For me, the greater point is more about taste in mouth.
Yeah.
And like our taste right now is not good because the offense that we all want to hang our hat on, they got 3 points. And the defense, they held them to 13, but kind of.
Right. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. So let's take a listen to Kyle's defensive comments, Kyle's offensive comments. Coming up next, we'll reboot kind of the injury news of the day because Kyle did talk about that on a conference call. And your phone calls for the rest of the afternoon continue to be very welcome. Specifically, if you thought the 49ers were outmanned and therefore whatever, or were there specific frustrations out of Saturday night that you'd like to point out and get off your chest? 888-957-9570, the number on Willard and Dibbs.
Now fourth down and six. The pass is incomplete, and the Seahawks are going to take over on downs. Derek Hall came in, delivered a blow, and Purdy is not able to get up.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that was the thing there at the end. Purdy is not able to get up. That hit. That, pop, like one half
piece.
Of the body's going one way and the other half's going the other way. Whew. Because then you're like, man, now,
Right. And you've already got PTSD with Philly.
Right.
Post-Philadelphia traumatic stress disorder.
And I know that the Niners have a good backup, but come on. Let's see what they can do.
And I also was having a little bit of those flashbacks with watching Josh Johnson for Washington going out there and leading the Commanders to a victory.
Oh, now he can win in Philly. Okay, Josh. Oh, now you can score 24.
And you see him after last touchdown, the pride of Oakland. And I believe that the call was, he's played for half the teams.
Seriously.
And I was like, has he played for 16?
Dude.
Close. And then he throws the ball off the Philly, the grandstands. And I'm like, good. good for you, Josh.
Did you see how he scored that touchdown?
Yeah.
So Ringo for the Eagles had him covered, and he was not going to be able to run past him and get into the end zone.
And
Ringo turns around to cover a receiver that's already being covered, and Josh Johnson walks into the end zone.
Week 18 is filled with weird games and players who are, like, it's
Ringo and Wallow.
It's preseason redo.
Totally.
It really is. I mean, if you watched any of that Eagles Commanders game, first of all, Tanner McKee, he can't even throw the ball in bounds.
Oh my God, Trey Lance.
It's for
Stanford.
Trey Lance, thank you.
Oh my God.
Again, it's tough. Like, it's preseason. You're playing backups, you're going against the one seed. I'm not going to come down Trey Lance's road.
My goodness.
But come on, man. Yeah, you had some weird quarterbacks playing this weekend.
Shaka Khan, Trey, I feel for you because I really, really wanted him to go out there and look competent.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
And there were so many throws where it's like, Trey.
I have a rule. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. I know people get super offended when the word bust starts to come up.
This is
no different than James Wiseman. Here's my thing.
Hi, this is James Wiseman.
No, there's all kinds of circumstances in the world, and they all matter. But if you've been with three teams and you still can't get on the field, then I think we've got our idea. I think we get it. If you've been with three teams and none of them are like, wowza, we got to put you in the game. And I know that the Chargers have Herbert. That's not my point.
Right.
Dallas didn't even use Trey Lance as a backup when Dak Prescott went down. If you've been with three teams.
They used Cooper Rush, who turns out he stinks.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
So if you've been with three teams and you can't get on the field, I think we have our answer. That's all.
Yep.
I'm sorry if that feels mean, but that's.
I don't think it's mean. You know. His race is not completely run just yet. But
no,
and I'm a big horse racing guy, and you know, in his horse race, we've gotten to the top of the stretch, and he is eighth out of eight, and he's not making a bold move four wide to try to close in on this thing. The race is not yet run, but yeah, yesterday that was the one where I was like, okay, come out there, win or lose, just look good, look better. And man, he did not look good, and he did not look better. And you look at the slate of backups yesterday, and even Davis Mills, who came in for Houston, and he looked terrible, but he's 3-0 this year as a starter.
Football's tough when one of the teams needs it and the other one doesn't, which is kind of what Trey Lance was facing. The Broncos are trying to clinch the one seed, and the Chargers are like, whatever. Whatever. And that's tough. So I'll give Trey that. You look around the league, and that's – like, I don't know if the Bears and Eagles, quote-unquote, needed their game, but it's kind of like the Rams and Cardinals. When the Cardinals took the lead there in the second half, all of us were like, ooh, is this actually going to happen? And the Rams were like, no.
No.
This is not, no.
We're not doing this.
Yeah, you need us to turn it up a notch? Okay, we'll turn it up a notch. Poof, 21-0 rest of the way. It's hard. It's hard when one team wants it and the other team's like, are we done here? Can we go home now? So that's what Trey was facing.
And you had to love the Raiders going out and winning one for the gum. Winning one for the gum tour and still keeping the first pick overall.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild.
Well, the Giants had lost.
Yep.
Or had won. I'm sorry. The Giants had won, so they had clinched it before they even took the field. That's a nice comforting thought.
Josh Johnson, by the way, has been a part of 18 different professional football teams, including the Sacramento Mountain Lions. I did sideline for a couple of games.
Oh.
And the San Diego Fleet, the Los Angeles Wildcats, and a bunch of NFL teams. So there you have it. Josh Johnson. Keep on QBing.
He's turning into a documentary more than a quarterback.
He's like, the NFL's version of Ish Smith.
Seriously.
If you partake in Ish Smith.
If that was a documentary, you wouldn't make it to the end. You're just like, all right, I get it. And then there was a 15th team. Like,
he's got a storage unit for all the uniforms. Just for uniforms.
Here's what Shanny said about sort of the Niners offense versus the Seattle defense?
I mean, it's what we expected. I mean, just with their defense, we expected to do better than we did, but we knew it was a good defense. We knew that in week one. We knew it from watching tape all week. We knew it would be a challenge, and they got us in a number of moments, had a couple opportunities, I thought, that we missed. And you can't miss those versus a team like that.
And here's what he said there. A little more on that about the run game.
I mean, I think when you have, you know, having 40 plays, couldn't get the run game going. I think we only had 12 runs. I think we converted one third down in the first half. That was a series, I think, the only series that we got the score on. But you convert two third downs in a game. They control the clock for 40 minutes. Versus a good deal, it's kind of the opposite of what happened last game. You know, I thought we did better on our third downs. We played them in week one. We had the ball for 40 minutes. We averaged about 3 yards a carry in that game, but we stayed on the field, so we were able to get 36 runs. Today, the run average was similar, but we only got 12 of them, and they controlled the ball, kept it from us, and when we had to get something going, we didn't stay on the field on third.
Okay, so that was what he said about offense, and then here's kind of what he said about defense.
I mean, we need to tackle better. We need to play better than that. I was proud that they kept battling and was able to hold them to 13 points. That's what gave us a chance there at the end. But we need to play better all around.
Okay, so I heard a lot of this, you know, and I mean, like on the crossover, Steiny was like, come on, Kyle. Like, does it sound to you like he's blaming the defense for this football game?
No. What he's saying is that in order to win, they have to play complimentary football. They have to possess it for more minutes than the other team. They have to run it 30 times. They have to give themselves a chance. The offense gave the defense no chance to really assert themselves. The defense did enough to give the offense the chance, but you look at them on third down, they converted two. They were 2 for 9. And even through that, Mark, the Niners, do you know where they ranked this year in third down conversion percentage in the NFL?
Prior to this game, you're talking about?
No, even after this game.
Very high.
Number one,
yeah.
Numero uno.
But guess what Seattle ranks in stopping third down?
Probably number one or number two?
Number one.
There you go.
Yeah, this was the power versus power matchup, and Seattle won it.
Right. Yeah. The Niners on the year are just a click below 50% on third down.
That's
and
crazy.
So you go 2 for 9, and you run it 12 times, and your defense holds them to 13. Noble, valiant, but you're going to lose those games. And I did the whole numbers on, and we've talked a lot about it, when they run it 30 times, what's their record, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing when they win time of possession. When they win the time of possession, when they run it 30 times, under Shanahan, they're almost unbeatable.
Quick story, and then we're going to go back to the phones, because one thing I've learned in doing this job is that coaches often know before the game if they've got the better horses or the worse horses. They know. Horse. They know. And they will call the game as such, which is like, okay, this is a bad spot for us, so we're going to need to be a little quirky here. We're going to need to maybe get a break over here. And that's what he means by, like, we're going to need to convert our third downs, because he's like, we're going to end up in a lot of third downs. So years and years ago, and now because he's no longer with us, I can go ahead and let the cat out of the bag about who it is. I might have told you this story before, but I was working for a network, and we had a weekly, same way you and I do with Steve Kerr.
Oh, yeah.
We had a weekly with Dennis Green, okay? Denny Green, just a great coach, yep. And a great personality.
You've told the story before, but I love it. Tell it again.
Okay, so Denny Green and my producer on the phone, and they're trying to figure out what day is a good day each week to do the interview. And the producer is thinking, like, unless for when you play on Monday night, let's do Mondays, because it's right after the game and we can break it down with you, coach. And Denny's like, nope, we're not doing Mondays. We're not doing Mondays. His name was Craig. Because we're not doing Mondays, Craig, because you know what? I'm going to be in a bad mood on Mondays, because we are going to lose a lot of football games this year. We are going to lose most of our football games this year. So I do not want to do Mondays. You got to give me some time to get my mood back, and maybe we could do like Wednesday or Thursday. We cannot do Monday. And it stuck with me, because I'm like, you're the coach of the team, and I think our perception is the coach walks in and it's win one, win for the Gipper, and we're going to gather all our guys, and we're going to do this, and we're going to fight, and we're going to win, and I'm going to
scheme it up. Is this when he was in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, all of you scheme it up people, like, you can't just snap your fingers and scheme it up and make a team go out there and win if they're not the better team. And I felt like, in listening to Kyle, and by the way, some of the players too, Kittle was another one. When I listen to them talk, they knew that they were at a deficit in this football game. They knew that. So they were going to need some breaks, and then when the breaks came, they needed to make good on those breaks. And they didn't do that. They didn't do that. And I think we can all agree, in some ways, you can be like, it's kind of crazy that they only lost by 10. Right? We all feel like they could have, should have, would have lost by even more than that.
Yes, but that's where it's so tantalizing, is because even though they could have, would have, should have, you still had a fumble that Yetur Gross-Matos could have recovered at the plus 25-yard line. You had a catch at the 5, which at least would have been, you know, closer to a goal-to-go situation for CMC. He bobbled it. They got the pick. And a 3rd and 17 that they converted. And through all that, you lost by 10. So if I look at the micro of the game, I think, boy, they had chances to win it, and they couldn't get it done. But the macro is they've had so many of these games, and this year, those games have gone their way. Last year, they went the other way.
Yep.
And I don't know if you saw Ronnie Bell yesterday with
a
highlight-worthy one-handed catch in the end zone. My God.
I learned so much watching football yesterday. Who didn't know that Ronnie Bell was still in the league?
Me?
Raise your hand.
You know who I learned it from?
Who?
It's Uncle Scott.
From Sundays.
From Sundays. I was watching the red zone.
I'm like, Ronnie Bell?
I missed a lot. I mean, I was in and out, whatever. You know, you're picking and you're popping. I got a three-year-old, yeah, whatever. We're playing Candyland.
It's week 18.
So I get to the end, yet. And I always catch the touchdown montage, and yeah, we're getting right before that, and it's the top plays of the week. Ronnie Bell with a one?
Wait. I can do you one better. You know what other receiver the Saints have?
Oh, gosh.
Former Niner?
A former Niner.
Dante Pettis.
Dante Pettis. Oh, yeah. And actually, he was playing yesterday.
No, see, that one I knew, though.
I knew Ronnie. I did not know Dante.
See, I was the opposite. I knew Dante Pettis was on the Saints, and I knew he was still in the league. Ronnie Bell, I thought for sure, was like Ronnie from State Farm. Like, I thought he had moved on to insurance, for sure.
Wow.
But they're both there. So, anyway.
Ronnie Bell, 2 catches this year.
Well, that was one of them.
At 1 touchdown.
How many drops?
Well, he only had four targets, so I'm going to assume 2 drops.
All right, you're listening.
Which is mean-spirited.
Well, Saints, they probably threw it over his
head. Dante Pettis, 9 catches, so there you go.
Okay, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.